My name is Paola Testa. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. The date is the 19th of August 2009 and the time is at 12:20 a.m. Please could you tell me your name, your age and where you're from?
I'm Kate Mason. I'm 57 years old and I'm living in Grantham in Lincolnshire, born in Cambridge.
And have you travelled here especially tonight to go on the plinth?
Not especially. I work in London. I commute to London daily by train from Grantham. So I've been to work today as usual, and then I've been to my daughter's house at Wanstead. I've been out to eat, and then her boyfriend has brought me in this evening, and I'm staying there tonight.
And has coming here tonight and seeing the plinth been how you imagined it would be?
Well, I've had a preview really, because my partner was on the plinth on the 29th of July. He invited people by helium balloon to come back to a picnic in Trafalgar Square two Sundays ago, and so we were here again then. So I've seen the plinth several times and seen lots of different people up there.
And with your partner being on, has he offered you any information or advice about going up on the plinth?
A few tips, yes, about how it'll look when I arrive on it, but really not too much, because I think he didn't want to sort of make me prejudge how it was going to be, really, just to decide for myself.
It's quite unusual to be able to talk to someone you know about the same experience. Mm, are you happy to be able to share that experience with someone?
Oh yes, yeah. We'd hoped he put both our names forward. I didn't know my name was being put forward, and unfortunately he's not able to be here tonight, so it's really sad. He's got a very important thing he's got to do tomorrow, and it just wouldn't be any good if he was up all night. So I'm here with the support of my daughter and her partner, but not mine.
And so how did you hear that your name had been put forward?
When I got the email to say that I'd been drawn out. A bit of a surprise.
And how did you react to that?
I was quite shocked, and the initial reaction was, what have you done that for? I didn't want to do that. So I'm quite happy to take pleasure from seeing somebody else do something. I'm pretty much a support crew and happy to be there. So it was a bit of a shock.
Were you aware of the project?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah.
And when you decided to accept the place, how did you feel once you knew that you had an hour?
Excited, but worried about how I was going to fill it. And it's thrown up all sorts of questions about whether you should, or I should try and work to the cam for the web stream, or whether I try and entertain the people in the square. And so it's just been quite a difficult thing to decide exactly how to play it.
And do you feel that you do need to entertain people watching?
In theory, no, but in practice, that's how I feel. Because I feel, you know, I like people to like me, and so if I do something that they can't hear or they don't like, I think I'll probably take it quite personally.
And have you decided to focus on the people in the square or on the web?
No, on the web stream, really, because the things that I've decided to do are more adaptable to that. And also I just didn't think of getting hold of a PA system in time, really.
And what is it that you have decided to do for the hour?
I'm doing some extreme knitting with painted broom handles and some thread that I hope will reflect the light. And what I'm really hoping to do is to put forward the me that people would see if they came into my sitting room at this time of night and I was awake. So it's thoughts and dreams and observations, and I'm going to read some poetry.
And what do you mean by extreme knitting?
Well, just doing it on broom handles, really. It's about as extreme as I can get. I know somebody's done some extreme knitting with a 1,000-thread yarn, but obviously that's her thing to do, not mine. So, yeah, I thought the broom handles was about as extreme as I could get, given the time and space available.
And what's the poetry that you'll be reading?
Three poems by a lady called Edna St. Vincent Millay, who I came across sort of accidentally. And I was just really moved by her work and then went to look for more and found it. And I'd just like to share it with other people because of the response I had to it.
And you said that this is going to be a representation of you at home at this time. Mm. How is that so?
I've brought some props with me. I've brought a little table onto which I'm going to put a lamp and a radio and some books and a teapot and a cup. Because if I was awake at this time of the morning, I'd have made a cup of tea and I'd read by the lamp and probably listen to the radio.
And you mentioned that it's also about dreams and observations. Mm. How does that come into it?
Well, some observations about daily things, one or two grumpy old women type rants, and the dreams of a princess that I think, I say all girls, that's probably a sweeping generalisation, most girls and women are princesses and girl guides in different measures. And I don't know what my balance is of princess to girl guide. I think mostly girl guide, but I think, you know, most people have those qualities in different measures.
Could you describe the outfit you're wearing, please?
It's a turquoise ball gown with silver patterns made of organza, thin straps, low cut top, full length, and I'm wearing a tiara and some bling earrings and my daughter's pearls.
And why the girl guide bunch?
Because guiding is something that I came to within the last 10 years, so quite late on in life, when I was the age that I could be a girl guide. I didn't like it. I got into it through a friend at a time in my life when I was I hardly had any self-confidence left from various life events that had happened. And a friend who was a guide leader asked me to help out with things. And gradually, guiding gave me back the confidence that I needed in my life. And I feel very much that if she hadn't given me that first step into guiding, I wouldn't have the confidence to get up on the plinth. So guiding has very much helped me to be the person that I am now from the person that I was then.
And what do you do with the guides?
Occasional helper, which mostly means that I turn up once a year for camp and help my friend Jill with the cooking. And 3 years out of four, we cook for all the camp on wood alone, on campfires, and then the fourth year we go to an international camp and then we treat ourselves to gas ranges if we're so busy. But that's my major contribution, is cooking at camp and occasionally helping out with fundraising.
And what is it that you enjoy about being involved with that?
It's the seeing young girls being able to be confidently silly in front of peers and in front of older people, knowing that nobody will criticise or take the mickey, that they're safe to challenge themselves with all sorts of difficult things, and those challenges give them confidence to do more. And it's seeing young girls grow into confident young women, and also the personal reward that I get out of it because I go to help, the reward from that is that I get to take part in things that I wouldn't have taken part in. And for instance, earlier this year we went to outdoor activities weekend, and I was there just as one of the adults to supervise, but it gave me the chance to have a go on high rope. I'm very scared of heights, and it was a I challenged myself to do the high ropes, and I did it. And so that's something else that just wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been a helper with the guides.
And over the years that you've been involved, you said it's helped you to build up your confidence. How has it done that?
By having to pitch in, by being thrown in at the deep end, having to pitch in. And also it's the safety of, if you are feeling less than confident, it's the safety of feeling that in a group of people who aren't going to criticise or take the mickey.
And do you work at the moment?
Yes, yeah.
What do you do in your work life?
I'm a clinical coder.
Could you tell us what that means?
I'm contracted to work for the National Health Service. I read through patients' notes when they're discharged from hospital, and from those notes I translate the information that the doctors and other allied professionals have written into codes for the diagnoses of the conditions that the patients have and the procedures that they undergo while they're in hospital. We translate those into codes that are then input onto the patient administration system. The information is collected for statistics and planning, but more importantly than ever, it's used for billing the cost of the patient's stay in hospital to the PCTs. And that is how the hospitals get paid for what they do. So it's quite a lucrative and high profile career at the moment.
And how did you get involved in that line of work?
I was a medical secretary from 13 years ago, and learnt the skill of clinical coding while I was a secretary at Grantham Hospital working for an orthopaedic surgeon. Then the hospital set up its own coding department and needed a team leader, so I went to be the team leader for that. Last year, it was very unfortunate that the department was restructured, and I'm making inverted commas as I say that, restructured. My post was downgraded, and ironically, I was the only person in the department who had the professional qualification, so I felt fairly aggrieved about that. And shortly after that, I discovered the world of contracting, which is where you sell your services as a professional to do that work back to the NHS. You're not directly employed by them. You work for an agency, but you're self-employed. And the more I looked into it, the more I thought, this is for me. And so it was an opportunity that I turned from something that was a very negative and very distressing experience into something that's been hugely positive. And I started in January commuting to London every day, and I've just never looked back. It's one of the best things I could ever have done.
And so it was an unexpected change, was it? But it's turned into something positive?
Yes, yes. Yeah, it was just, being treated very, very badly by some people who I thought should have, I had more value for. And, you hear lots of people say that out of something negative, they turn it into a positive, and I've really been able to do that. The travelling can be a bit wearisome sometimes, because I travel for 4 hours a day, but I've made, you meet people on the train, I read a lot, I do Sudoku puzzles, listen to music, and really it's not too bad. Far less stressful than driving. I wouldn't want to drive.
And is all of your work in London?
Yes, contracts are in London. I'm working at Chelsea and Westminster Hospital at the moment in Fulham Road.
And did you find it fairly easy then to find work as a self-employed contractor?
Yes, in this particular field, the agencies are ringing you every week to ask if you're free. Do you want weekend work? There's just so much work and not enough qualified people to do it at the moment. So I'm riding high.
And do you enjoy the actual work that
you do? Very much. From the very first moment when I learnt to do it, which was in 1995, I've always enjoyed it. It fulfills the sort of intellectual challenge. It's like doing puzzles all day, really. I like doing puzzles, and it's almost like teasing stuff out from the you know, what you're reading, just to tease out that you're getting the correct code, that you're doing it accurately, and collecting all the information, because it's really important that nothing is missed or the hospital loses money.
And what is it that you were doing before you started in this 13 years ago?
Before that, well, I was a medical secretary before I was a coder. Before that, I worked part-time as a GP's receptionist and secretary at the a local general practice in the village where I used to live.
And what are the kinds of things you like to do in your spare time?
I like swimming, but I don't get to do it as often as I'd like to. I like walking. We have an allotment, so I love my garden as well. I just like being there. I like weeding. I like, you know, looking after the flowers. So gardening, yes. And I mean, I'm interested in so many things. Stitching. I do a lot of sewing. That extreme knitting is a bit of a joke, but that's just to show. Sort of like in a large form for the plinth, what I do. I like knitting, but I really like embroidery. I like machine embroidery. I belong to an embroiderers guild in Nottingham, and my friend and I go to a lot of day sewing workshops to learn a new skill. Felt making. I'm really in love with felt making at the moment.
And have you always been interested in this kind of arts and craft life?
Crafts, yes. I wouldn't say I was artistic. I'd say I was quite a craftsperson. I don't think I'm artistic. I don't have a lot of imagination. I can follow things. People say to me, oh, do it like this. I can do it. And that's for as long as I can remember. I can remember both my grandmothers teaching me to knit, and the first thing I can actually remember knitting properly were a pair of pale blue booties that I knitted for a brownies badge.
And what is it that you'll be knitting tonight with the extreme knitting?
Nothing in particular, just knitting. My daughter made the joke that if I got stuck up the plinth, I could knit it long enough into a ladder and escape. But I'm expecting the JCB to turn up on time. No, it's not anything in particular, it's just a piece of knitting. Yeah.
And what are some of the things that are important to you in your life at the moment?
My family, my friends, my partner. I've said that in the wrong order. My partner, my family, my friends, but they're interchangeable at different times of the day and month. But yeah, it's people. All the people I know and people I love and the people that care about me, yeah.
And what have people's reactions been to you getting a slot on the plinth?
I haven't actually told all that many people, but the ones that do know either think that you're crazy because they don't get it themselves, or they just think, you know, wow, you're brave for it.
Do you have any expectations about what it will be like upon the plinth?
Worried about the height, because I'm not good with heights, and I'm worried about the initial getting on it. I'm told I'll be fine. I'm told, you know, I know all the logic. I know all that, but logic doesn't apply to fear of things like that. But I'm sure I'll be all right when I get there.
Would you like people in the square to interact with you?
If they want to be nice, yes. Yeah.
And do you have any hopes or fears about what will happen?
Not really. I just hope that, not for myself, I hope people enjoy it. I just hope they look and think, well, yeah, that was okay. I'm decided mainly to work to the web, because I think, well, people are more likely to sit and watch something for an hour if they're comfortable. And the other thing about being on the plinth is that the other statues around the square, people don't stand and look at them for an hour. They're not actually entertaining anybody. They're just there. And so if people want to treat me in the same way as they treat one of the others and just walk up, have a look and walk on, that's fine by me.
What impact would you like to have by going up and doing this tonight?
I'd like people to smile and maybe laugh and have a warm feeling. Yeah.
And what is it that you would like to take away for yourself personally from the experience?
Oh, just the sheer fact that I did it, and the fact that only 2,400 people will have done it, and that I could be part of something that Anthony Gormley did, because the Crosby Beach, I went to see that, and it was just beautiful, just beautiful. We did it deliberately, turned up at sunset, and just walked out. It was low tide, sunset, and you just walked out, and there was the colour of the sky and the wind farm, wind turbines, and these figures standing there, and I had a hugely emotional response. I just loved it. And so to be part of something that he's done, great, ticks the boxes for me. Yeah.
And what does the opportunity mean to you to be one of those 2,400 people?
Well, it's very random, so I can't say I feel special, but I'm happy to be randomly picked, because there's some sort of serendipity there. My partner was picked as well. That's quite random, so yeah.
Have you participated in arts projects before?
No, I don't think I have, no.
And how would you summarise your experience of this project since hearing that you had a place to this moment now?
Everything that I've encountered, because obviously I've been here before with my partner, and being here tonight and the people on the phone and the camaraderie of the other plinthers, everything about it just has created a warm feeling. It's just generated so much goodwill, and that's got to be a good thing.
And to finish, how would you describe yourself as a person?
I don't like to do that. I either think it sounds arrogant or dorky, so I prefer not to.
Do you remember what the three words that you used on the website?
Yes, always a way, because my motto in life is there's always a way. I believe that if you want to do something, you will find a way. There's always a way that anything can be done if you think hard enough and look hard enough for the way to do it. But there's always a way is four words. So I had to cut it down to always a way. I hope people will understand what that means.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.